It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks.
I'm Tim Wildman, and in studio with me is a lot of IQ people. 2020 right there. We got 2020 in this room.
Are you saying our IQ is 20?
I wonder if you meant vision.
If you didn't know you were insulted, then,
then your IQ is 20.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Today is December the 19th. It'll be the last December the 19th we have this year.
So make good use of it.
All right, I'm Tim Wildman with Brother Ed Battagliano. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
And visiting professor Mark Ose. How you doing, Brother Mark?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. It's only the second time I've ever been invited to do this show in 11 years, so I'm very excited.
You keep mentioning that.
I know.
So every 5.5 years, you get your chance.
That's right, whether I'm ready or not.
You've been with us here at AFR how long, though?
11 years.
Okay, and came from?
Well, most recently, Missouri, Springfield, mm-hmm. Missouri.
Yeah. Most recently, meaning you're being tracked by the FBI, I think.
I know you keep saying that. I keep moving around, lived in many states, but that's not the reason.
How many states have you lived in?
Seven, I think.
Okay.
I could list them, but we don't have
time. And and you're not in the military.
No, that's my dad was, your dad, so okay. That's how we got started moving around.
I got you. Well, welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, so Trivia Friday is what we're going to be doing here today, Ed.
Well, we are going to be challenging the students here at Learning University. That's what we call Trivia Friday, one of its many names. And the way we challenge our students is that each of we three professors, I'm not sure exactly.
Well, if Orient are.
Yes.
Am I right?
We three professors of Orient are?
Yeah.
That's right.
We're going to ask three questions each. We invite you to call in. It is first-time callers, so that means if you have never been on the air, this doesn't mean if you tried and failed. If you have never been actually on the program with us, this could be your day. Now, if you have been, we ask you to wait a week, try again next week. But this is first-time callers, the number to call if you want to try to get on the show with us, 888-589-8840. This is a live program, folks.
Yes.
We are live.
So if you mess up,
everybody will know.
There are no edits. 888-589-8840. Now, one of these nine questions is going to be the mystery question. Mark, what's so mysterious about it? Do you know?
Well, yeah. If you answer correctly the mystery question, you'll hear a special sound. And
what is it?
The beloved cowbell.
Beloved cowbell shall ring. And all the world will know you've won yourself an AFR ball cap. By the way, we got some Trivia Friday t-shirts that are about ready.
Oh, are they almost ready?
Yeah. They're
the new edition?
Yeah, well, you should be able to don them sometime in February,
I think. It's not gay apparel.
No.
Folks, it is absolutely 100% straight apparel.
Straight apparel.
Straight apparel. All right, so is that
you gotta be 11 years old or older?
Yes, you do.
And then that's it. So 888-589-8840. Tim,
who's gonna
Ed,
do the calls
Mark
today?
I'll do the calls. Do you know how to do the calls?
I defer to you.
Okay.
Since Mark's back on for the first time in a while, let him go first with the questions.
Oh, with the questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All righty. Well, here are my three questions. And first, what does the historical phrase diet of worms refer to? And it's a...
Really, Mark, that's your first question?
Yeah. It's a multiple choice question.
After 5 years.
What is...
Well that's... I'm telling you, that's the diet my wife wants to put me on. I know that.
So I have a multiple choice here. A is what worms eat, you know, like dirt and other organic matter.
Uh-huh.
B, a repulsive but very effective weight loss program. Or C, a religious hearing involving Martin Luther. What is the diet of worms? Okay. Question number two. Fjords, as you know, are, you probably know, deep sea water inlets enclosed by steep mountain slopes. They were formed by glaciers and are found in northern latitudes like Norway and Iceland. But there are also fjords in New Zealand near Australia. Is that true or false?
Okay, you know we have a paragraph limit on the questions. Right?
It's only three lines.
Okay.
You can just expect a hard time today.
I know. It's okay. Yeah. I listen to the show. I enjoy this. And then question number three, what was the first city to buy electricity from the Tennessee Valley Authority? The first city in the United States to buy electricity from the TVA.
TVA is pretty well known. Yeah. A pretty big deal back in the mid-20th century. Well, I interrupted a little bit. Repeat your second question quickly, if you would.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fjords. There are fjords in Norway and Iceland, but there are also fjords in New Zealand. Is that true or false?
Okay. Is this like a people?
No, fjords are... All right, let me read it again.
Is this like a food? What is this?
Fjords are deep sea water inlets enclosed by steep mountain slopes.
Sure.
You see them in Norway or Iceland, you know, where the mountains go right down into the sea.
So what about them? What's the question relative
to question them? Is, are there... Usually they're only in the north, but there are fjords in New Zealand. Is that true or false?
Okay. Also, it's a brand of automobile that they drive in Sweden.
Okay.
And please go crank the fjord.
I thought it was like a midget or something, you know.
Wasn't there a tennis pro back in the 80s?
Bjorn
Fjord?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay.
Get us out of this.
All right. Hey, I've got... Christmas questions.
There we go.
I got Christmas questions. In fact, I got a bunch of them, so I got backups. So here are the three that I will start off with. Uh-huh. How many ghosts show up in A Christmas Carol? We all read Charles Dickens or seen multiple versions of the movie. How many ghosts show up in A Christmas Carol?
Okay.
And if you can name them... Without looking them up, without asking anybody, we'll give you a hat.
All right.
All right, second question. In the movie A Christmas Story, what was the name of the department store that had what Ralphie wanted? This is the movie about the kid who wanted a particular toy.
Kid with the glasses?
Yeah, kid with the glasses. Actually, he wanted a BB gun.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So what was the name of the department store that had what he wanted? And then third question. In the classic song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, what type of pudding is mentioned? In the classic song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, what type of pudding is mentioned?
Okay. My three questions. Number one, from the Bible, there is a character, a person, a real person.
Oh, he's a character.
He was a character. Who was the person who held baby Jesus and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
You know we have a paragraph limit.
You know what? I deserve that. I do. After what I did to Mark a while ago, I deserve it. And you deserve you enjoyed dishing it, didn't you?
That's
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, Ed deserves a pat on the back.
Okay. Well. So
I'll give myself there was one later.
The Bible character mentioned who held Jesus in his arms. I'll tell you, it's a he. And quoted that verse I just mentioned. Okay. Number two, what's the name of the young boy forgotten at home in Home Alone? What's his whole name?
Oh, ooh, that's tougher.
Not the first one that everybody knows. His mom screams on the airplane. And number three, what type of Christmas tree is the most popular?
Ah, interesting.
What type of Christmas tree is the best seller?
A conifer.
Across the U.S. A conifer? That's an airline, I think.
Huh? Do you fly conifer?
I fly conifer. I've flown them. Yeah, they're good 99% of the time.
Yeah.
1%? I don't know. Yeah. All right, so there we go. Does everybody got the questions?
Got them.
Let's go.
All right. We're going to go first to Mississippi, and Marvin is on the line, or as I would call him if we were going to high school together, Marvin. Welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Where do you live in Mississippi?
I'm a first-time caller. I visited with y'all yesterday, and I just thought I'd give it a shot today and see if I could maybe answer one question or two. So
one per customer. Great to have you listening.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So you came by to visit yesterday, and then now you're on the air with us.
Yes, it's, like I say, this is the first time I've ever called, so I thought I'd give it a call yesterday and tell y'all how much I enjoyed meeting everybody and me and the wife going on a tour. So we enjoyed your seeing your operation and how it works. So
excellent.
Thank you, Marvin. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Oh, I'll just answer one.
All right, which one you try?
The pudding song.
All right, let me repeat.
Sing it for
let
us,
me
Ed.
Repeat that. No, I'm not singing it. In the classic song.
Go ahead.
Marvin will sing it for us then.
In the classic song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas."
Yeah.
What type of pudding is mentioned, Marvin?
They said figgy pudding. I always thought that sounded terrible because I hated figs. So.
It is correct.
Is he right?
He is right.
It's figgy pudding.
Figgy pudding. Mark'll sing it.
So Marvin, you've had figgy pudding before?
He hates figs, he said.
No, I can't stand figs. My grandmother loved them, but I couldn't stand them. But good talking to you gentlemen again, and y'all have a good day down there. Like I say, we enjoyed our visit yesterday. Have a good one.
Thank you, Marvin.
Thank you, Marvin. We enjoyed having you. We always love seeing our listeners.
Amen. Amen.
So, if you're going to come by and visit us here in Tupelo, Mississippi at our studios, then let us know ahead of time. You can go on the internet and let us know you're
AFA.net, the tab that says more, that's a drop-down menu. It'll say, I think, visits.
Yeah. If you want to come by and see us, we welcome everybody. You just need to let us know you're on the way because
we got to make sure
we're open and
that you're not running from the law.
You're not a fugitive.
Yeah.
Marvin said figgy, and you've had figgy pudding?
I've never had figgy pudding, but I do like figs.
Yeah. I don't care for figs. You know, I don't know what the deal is. Marvin was saying, I think he said his mom did. My mom loved figs.
What?
She was from Greece, and they actually grew figs there. So
yeah, we don't grow figs in America, do we?
Well, my next door neighbor has a fig tree, and I'm eating those
even
every
today.
Year.
Are those the same as dates?
Wow.
They call dates?
No, they're different from dates. I don't like dates.
I've been
they
sheltered.
Have a strange.
I could hardly ever get a date in high school.
Join the club, brother.
Figs and dates. Yeah, I don't care for either one of them.
I know.
Huh? Anyway. All right. So
that was an interesting exchange.
It was, and we thank Marvin for calling there, and. Figgy pudding. So he got that right. That's the pudding mentioned in the song.
Which the song, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And I think it's kind of particularly a British thing. But you know what? I think things like that, desserts like that, kind of fell by the wayside when chocolate came on the scene.
I agree. You know. Well, I remember reading about George Washington. That was one of the reasons he fought Britain. It wasn't the top reason.
Right.
It was like he listed like the reason. Number six was figgy pudding.
We just wanted to be free from that.
We don't want to have that forced down us.
Oh, no. It forced down our throat.
Figgy pudding.
As colonists. All right. You're listening.
We're going with chocolate.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Mark. And, okay, go ahead. Who's next,
Ed? All right, let's go to Ohio. What do you say? And Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, good morning, professors.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me on. I've always wanted to call in. I listen to you guys all the time. Joe does not go off of AFR.
Wow.
That's everything you guys do.
That's what we like to hear, Michael.
Yeah, sure
where do you live in the Buckeye State?
I'm in Lancaster.
Okay, which is, if
just
I look
south
at
south of Columbus.
Just south of Columbus, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got that whole Columbus region covered. with our AFR signals.
Amen.
So, man, that's great. Yeah. Ohio is one of the states I've lived in.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Where'd you live there?
Dayton.
Dayton.
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Okay.
Till I was 6 years old, so I don't remember a thing.
That's Dayton. It was right next to Figton.
Yeah.
Was it?
You could get a date in Dayton. I guess.
Everyone can
get
a date.
All right, Michael, ask, answer, or both?
I'll answer.
Okay, which question would you...
I can't remember the first one I was originally going to answer. So I'll try for it. Was there one about who was the prophet that held the baby Jesus?
Yeah, let me repeat the question, and you can answer it. Who was the person in the Bible who held baby Jesus and said that basically, I won't read the whole paragraph again because I got mocked by Ed. I was reading from the Word of God, but Ed said that's too. No, I'm just kidding. He said this, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And he said some other things, but that was how he started his comments. Who was that character?
That would be Zechariah.
Not unless he had a double name. No, I'm talking New Testament now. New Testament. Of course, the Old Testament would.
Zechariah.
Yeah. Old Testament wouldn't have been able to hold Jesus in his arms.
Right.
That would have been a miracle.
That would have been a Christmas miracle.
But anyway, what's your question for us, Michael? Go ahead.
I didn't have one.
Okay. Well, man, I feel bad. You swung and missed. That's okay. So look, can we give him half a hat?
Half a hat?
Just for a participation trophy?
What are you going to do, tear the bill off?
Hey, Michael, thanks for calling, my friend. And what are you going to do for Christmas? You going somewhere? You staying home or both or what?
All our family's right here, so we're just being here.
Nice. Okay. Hey, I think the weather's going to be nice across most of the country.
Yeah, well, you consider 70 degrees at Christmas time nice, and I know you do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't. Yeah. Cold weather's of the devil. So that's the way I view life. I always have. Except when I was a kid and it was snow day and I got to skip school.
That was always a good day.
It was a blessing.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Tell you, the cold is one thing I remember from Ohio.
Yeah.
I remember I was 5 years old crawling in a little snow cave and somebody fell through the roof and stepped on my hand. And man, that hurt because my hand was already painful from the cold. So.
Well, I got a little quick, I have told this on the air before, but Mark's story reminded me. When I was probably 3 or 4 years old, I don't know, 5, whatever I was, my mom lost me. She put me out in the backyard to play in the snow. I was all dressed up in the snow. And she looked out the kitchen window, and I was gone. This is the absolute truth.
How old were you?
Whatever that was, 3, 4, I don't know.
Were you dressed in white?
No, I was just dressed in, you know, all my snow gear. And my mom panicked and went outside to look for me, couldn't find me.
Oh, my God.
Called my dad. He came home from work. I had crawled under the porch and fallen asleep.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I'm having a panic attack just thinking about that.
My poor mom, bless her heart, she's in heaven now, but she thought she'd lost me. So,
Well, that happened to my son Wesley. He's, you know, in his mid-30s now with three kids of his own.
Yeah.
But we were at a lake one summer.
Ooh.
And he was like 5, and he went to we were on a beach, and everybody could see everything. I mean, you know, and we were responsible parents.
Yeah.
But there was a restroom facility about 50 yards away, and he just decided to go over there on his own without telling anybody. So he was on his own. But we didn't know it at the time. So Allison and I are looking around going, where's Wesley?
Oh, my goodness.
We were setting up camp for the day at the beach on the lake.
And you glance, you see the kids, you get back to work.
Yeah, so we're like going, okay. Here's the water in front of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Did he go in the water? And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh.
It's full panic mode.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guarantee you, most people listening to us right now, if they've had children, had that happen at least one time.
Some parents have forgotten their kids at church. I've heard stories about that.
They left them at church.
They were asleep on the pew and they're getting everyone into the car and they take off. And
I guess Home Alone's not so far-fetched after all.
No, it's not.
We had church friends so good in Colorado that one of our kids, Caroline, the youngest, crawled into the car with them and they took her home, called us later and said that's where she was.
Oh, my.
At their house.
Well, it's just parenting. Now, listen, for you young people who have not gotten married or had kids yet, it's not that bad. You lose your kid just usually for a little while.
That's right.
So
it's usually okay.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Mark. Go ahead. Back to the phones, Ed.
All right. Louisiana is where we're going next. And Brian is on the line. Brian, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Sorry. Hey, Brian, where do you live, my friend?
I'm just north of Lake Charles, about 45 minutes, listening to you out of a station there.
Okay. How far are you from Lafayette?
From Lafayette?
Yeah.
Oh, about 3 hours.
Oh, okay. It's 3 hours, but that's a up I-10. Yeah.
That's a haul.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're north of I-10 along the Texas border. You can almost fit into Texas.
I got you. Brian, ask, answer, or both, my friend?
I'll answer.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
I'll have that fjord.
Oh, all right.
Well, here we go.
May I read the whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. You go right ahead. We don't care.
I'm going to go get some coffee, and then I'll be back.
I'm going to get a sandwich, but you go ahead.
You go ahead.
All right, thank you. Brian, as you know, I'm sure, fjords are deep-sea water inlets enclosed by steep mountain slopes. They were formed by glaciers long ago and are normally found in northern latitudes like Norway and Iceland, but there are also fjords in New Zealand. Is that true or false?
It is true.
It is true.
All right.
Really? Wow.
Way to go, Brian.
It's 100% true. And
how does Brian know the answer to that?
Yeah, how did you know that, Brian?
Well, I did study a little bit of geography in school, and it just kind of makes sense if you know the overall geography of New Zealand. And I believe I've heard somewhere that there may even be some in the Antarctic. They may be all plugged up with ice, but
Okay, so that is where New Zealand is where they filmed the series, the
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
and they used
it is,
and so that majestic, backdrop, you know, with all the mountains and what's the proper
fjord?
Fjord is like a what?
It's
yeah,
just
when I probably first learned about them, I probably called them fjords. But
fjords.
Anyway, that's before I knew how to.
Well, hey, listen, man. When you're from Louisiana, people understand that.
For me.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, just an interesting point that you're talking about New Zealand and filming the
Lord
of the Rings. All those orcs that were in there, those were all local orcs.
Really?
They got some of them local fellers. And, they didn't go like outside of New Zealand to get orcs from Australia or something like that. So,
You know, the reason I brought this up is we are hoping to cruise to New Zealand one day.
Oh.
And there is rumored to be a fjord that's got dark water on the top due to volcanic water runoff. And it makes like sunglasses on the surface of the water.
Really?
And the deep sea fish think they're deeper than they are.
That's interesting.
I can't wait to see that.
I've had that feeling myself.
That you were in too deep?
Yeah, I was in too deep. You know, I think I've been there.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
I think he has a question for us.
Do you have a question for us?
It can wait. Brian?
Well, I can. Am I supposed to ask you all a trivia question?
Do you have one?
I can give you one off the top of my head.
Okay, we got to take a break. So hold on through the break, if you don't mind, Brian. If you have to leave us, we understand, but we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes here.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There's a sentence in the Book of Books which reads like this: for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Experience is a great teacher, and all of us have had the experience of being a stranger on occasion. We can remember on those occasions how much we wanted someone to show us a little kindness. Being kind to another makes life enjoyable. It enriches the soul of the person showing kindness and wins the heart of the recipient. So a kind act helps at least two people, possibly and probably more. Greatness of soul isn't measured by genius, fame, or fortune. It's measured by kindness. Stephen Grillet once wrote, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." I believe also that being kind to another brings kindness in return. There's a law of life which is stated like this: we reap what we sow. Most of us are aware of what happens when kindness isn't used. Harold Sandall put it this way: any kindness that is never used but hidden alone will slowly harden till it is hard as any stone. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. It's called the Golden Rule. It's a wonderful way of living. Be kind to others because you want them to be kind to you. Kindness is also the best persuasion we have. Now, our speech may be good and interesting, and we need to use interesting and informative words, but one act of kindness often speaks louder than a thousand words. Frederick Faber once said, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, and learning." And that's true. The ministry of kindness is a ministry which may be achieved by all people, rich or poor, learned or illiterate, young or old. Brilliance of mind and capacity for deep thinking have rendered great service to humanity, but by themselves they are impotent to dry a tear or mend a broken heart. Whatever a person has to say, it does not mean much unless it is backed by action. And for many of us who have trouble getting our words to come out right, we found a simple act of kindness gets the job done. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. We've all been strangers in the land of Egypt. We know how much kindness is wanted and needed and appreciated. Let us, therefore, be as kind to others as we would wish they were to us. Edgar Guest, the poet, he had a way of expressing profound thoughts in simple words, and he wrote this down one time: "When I see a deed of kindness, I'm eager to be kind. When a weakened brother stumbles and a strong man stays behind just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and thoughtful as I know that friend can be. And all travelers can witness that the best of guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way."
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow weak or discouraged before he has established justice on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. Isaiah 42, 3 and 4.
American Family Radio.
All right. Burn that map.
Bonanza.
That's right.
What a great show that was.
It was.
Love
it
that
was.
Show. Yeah. That was my favorite. I like that more than Gunsmoke. A lot of people Gunsmoke.
I did too.
Gunsmoke. Bonanza was my favorite. Western. Back in the day when they had westerns.
Yeah.
Little right. Joe and Hoss and Paw.
Yes.
Pop Sing.
Brian in Louisiana was with us. Brian, do you have a question for us, brother?
I do.
Okay,
we're
going
to take you back to some bonanza era stock prices. So the question is, I'm going to give you $100 to go buy stock for me.
Okay.
You must buy exactly 100 head of stock. You're going to buy sheep and goats and cattle. Cattle cost 10, goats cost 5, and sheep cost 50 cents. How many of each species must you buy to spend all the $100 and buy exactly 100 head of stock?
You know,
if you like a hint, I have a biblical hint for you.
Okay.
Huh. Do we have to buy all three species?
You have to buy all three species, at least one from each three species. You must buy exactly 100 head, and you must spend all the $100.
That's if the train leaves Denver at 70 miles an hour.
Well, you're going to put them on the train later.
Right.
You just got to buy them right now.
All right, okay. Brian.
The hint is from the parable of the lost sheep, where the good shepherd leaves the 99 in the fold and goes to find the one lost on the mountain.
Okay, are you on to this, Mark? Do you think?
I think I've got it.
Okay, hold on a second. Brian, I know I've mocked people for asking long questions, and yours was semi-long.
Yeah.
But, Brian, repeat the question. Repeat the question again, okay. Brian, and then Mark's going to answer it. Go ahead.
Okay. You have to buy 100 head of stock. Sheep cost 50, goats cost 5, cattle cost $10. You have $100. You must spend all of it and purchase exactly 100 head of stock and not have any money left over and have at least one representative from each stock.
All right, Mark.
Okay, well, right. Why'd you say Mark? Why don't you give me a shot?
Because he raised his hand.
Okay.
And he said, I think I know it.
I'm just going to say this to Brian.
Do you think you know it too?
No, I'm just going to say this to Brian. I love Brian in the Lord.
Yes, you do.
But I don't answer math questions inside of a week before Christmas.
Right.
It's kind of like a break I take. You know how I am about math all year round.
No, it's a conviction you have.
All year round, this mind is mathing.
Oh, it is.
And
I'm two offices down from you. Now I hear you talking to yourself.
All right, Mark.
Is that why you wind up with a big credit card bill come January?
No, we do not buy on credit. I will tell you that much. But no, I'm just kidding, Brian. Everyone who knows me knows I am not a math person. Mm-hmm. So I too defer to Mark, hoping he can bring this home.
Oh, pressure's on now.
It's on.
Brian, before I try to answer this, I have a question. I think the second time through you said sheep are 50, but the first time through I thought you said sheep are 50 cents. Which
50
is it?
50 cents.
Okay. Well, then my answer is going to be, and it seems like there are several ways to do this. But 9 cattle, 1 goat, and 2 sheep. Does that work?
But you didn't buy 100 stock. You got to buy 100 head of stock.
Oh, well, then I don't have it.
Give us the answer, Mark.
It's a sad day on this panel.
Well, it's a swing and a miss.
That's right.
Go ahead.
What's the answer, Brian?
It's 90 sheep, 9 goats, and 1 cow.
What about the partridge?
That was in a pear tree.
Stuck?
It was in
the
pear
tree. Hey, Brian, great question. Good brain teaser there, my friend.
Excellent.
Sure. Mark, does that make sense to
day.
You?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, we have not repeated our questions.
We need to reset.
In a while. So, Mark, anything you want to explain about what he just said?
Well, I just missed the detail that I needed 100 animals. So,
that was a big detail, though.
That was a big detail.
Yeah.
See, right. And
but anyway,
somebody else
got
the answer instead.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Mark. Mark filling in for JJ. Was he traveling man again? He just didn't want to come in today for Christmas break.
I don't know. I didn't ask him, but are we allowed to just say we don't want to come in?
Well,
I didn't know we were allowed to do that.
I didn't, you know. He travels a lot.
He does.
So. He does. All right, he's an ambassador.
Ahead, repeat our questions.
Go ahead, Mark. Reset your questions. We'll get our students back up to speed.
All righty. I have two questions left, and I'll give you a new one. What does the historical phrase diet of worms refer to? It's a multiple choice question. A, what worms eat, like dirt and other organic matter.
Yeah.
B, a repulsive but very effective weight loss program. Or C, a religious hearing involving Martin Luther. Question number two. What was the first city to buy electricity from the Tennessee Valley Authority? First city in the United States to buy electricity from the TVA.
TVA, popular, well-known electrical
utility
provider.
They also manage water with dams and things like that.
Yes, they do.
So, and then my third question, a new one, in How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss, how old was Cindy Lou Who?
Who?
That's right.
Correct. Exactly.
Cindy Lou Who. How old was she?
Okay. That's the question.
You. Talk about getting lost. She ran up that mountain looking for Grinch.
Yeah.
Her parents were, where'd she go?
Where'd she go?
She's lost in the snow like Ed Vitagliano.
That's how parents turn gray.
That sounds like an embellishment from the Jim Carrey movie. That was not part of the Dr. Seuss story.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Dan.
All right, here are my questions. It's in the movie. I will also add one. Okay. First question, how many ghosts show up in A Christmas Carol? That's Charles Dickens' novel and multiple movie versions. How many ghosts show up in A Christmas Carol? In A Christmas Story, that's a movie, a different thing. It's a different thing. What was the name of the department store that had what Ralphie wanted? Ralphie wanted a BB gun. What was the name of the department store that had it? And then I'm going to ask another Christmas question. Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store? Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store?
I know the answer to that one.
Is that the same one as the answer to number two?
It is not.
Oh.
These are different. These are two different department store questions.
Here are my three questions. Number one, who is the person in the Bible, it's a New Testament answer, who held baby Jesus in his arms and referred to...
go ahead and read it. I know you
okay.
want
to. it's a Bible verse from Luke 2. It said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles," talking about Jesus Christ, "and for the glory to your people Israel." What was the name? If you can get it without looking it up, we'll send you a ball cap. Okay? We'll send you an AFR ball cap. If you answer that Bible question without looking it up or asking somebody else, you just know it because you read the Bible. Number two, what's the name of the young boy forgotten in the Home Alone movie? What's his whole name? Not his first name only. I want his whole name. What's the name of the young boy forgotten at home in Home Alone? And number three, what type of Christmas tree is the most popular? What best-selling, what would you call it? Best-selling... Christmas tree. We call it a brand or not a brand, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Type of tree is
yes.
what I'm asking. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not a palm tree, you know, okay? So
right.
it would be, not you'd like, be answering that kind of thing. What kind of
unless question. You're in Hawaii, maybe it is, you know.
Well, there's a commercial that depicts that.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
The Corona?
You drink, I think that's right.
You drink Corona, do you, Mark?
No, thank you, no.
Oh, no, okay. You're a teetotaler?
Well, I don't drink Corona. Oh.
Okay, then. All right.
Well, okay.
We're not going to get into
we're
not going to get into discussion of alcohol today, Ed.
Go so home and drink an eggnog.
We need to move right along.
Without it being spiked. All right, let's go back. I say we go back to Mississippi, boys. And Roy is on the phone. Roy, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. Good to hear from you. Where do you live in Mississippi?
I live in Perkiston, Mississippi.
On the Gulf Coast.
Down on the coast.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for calling and listening to AFR. You listen to the Gulfport station?
I do.
Yeah.
I listen to mostly on the app because I'm a truck driver, so
I got
that
you.
Way I can hear it anywhere I go.
So. That's the way to do it.
All right, well, Roy, well, you're on the air, brother, on Trivia Friday. You want to ask, answer, or both?
I want to answer.
Which one?
I want to answer the number of ghosts in Christmas Carol.
All right, here's the question, Roy. How many? All right, and I did make the statement at the beginning when I first read it. If you can answer this question and name the ghost without looking it up or having asked someone, we'll send you a free AFR ball cap. So here's the question. How many ghosts show up in the novel and movies versions of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol?
The number is 4.
That is correct.
Woo-hoo!
Now, can you name them?
First ghost was Jacob Marley, which was Ebenezer Scrooge's former partner who died. The second ghost was the Ghost of Christmas Past. The third ghost was Ghost of Christmas Present. And the fourth ghost was the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
That is
right.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, did you know that, or you didn't have to look it up or ask anybody? You just knew it?
I knew that. I'm 62 years old, and I've been watching that movie every year since I can remember.
Well, all right. Well,
that's great.
That was perfect. Yeah. Done perfectly, Roy. So you may have a question for us. So I just want to let you know that when we're finished on air, don't hang up. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your information and put the hat in the mail. I doubt you'll get it in time for Christmas, but maybe soon after.
So you can't re-gift it.
It's so well, not this, not
anyway.
This year you can.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Roy, do you have a question for us?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, Roy. Excellent work. Stay safe on the road. Hope you have a merry and blessed Christmas.
And listen, let me just say this, too, and J.J. would do this if he was here. We appreciate our truck drivers.
Yes,
amen.
We do.
Amen.
If there's any one profession that keeps America going, it's going to be truck drivers. You know, as much as anybody.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, they're like the lifeblood of the country.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Getting stuff and from A to B.
Truck drivers, are we appreciate you.
Amen.
And we have a lot of them who listen to us all over the country. And now with the AFR app, you know, they can go.
You don't leave. You may leave your hometown where you have a station, but you can continue to listen.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Mark, if you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net is our email address. Next up, Ed.
Well, we go back to Ohio. This is our second call from Ohio. Sean is on the line. Sean, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, distinguished professors.
Hey, Sean.
Like to
see you.
Sean,
as JJ would say, we appreciate your honesty.
Yes.
There, Sean. Where do you live in Ohio?
Logan.
Which is near
Ohio.
Where?
It's like south of Columbus, southeast Ohio.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for calling, Sean, and appreciate you hearing from you, and thanks for listening to AFR. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay, which one you want to answer?
The Bible one, the Simeon.
All right, let me ask the question, then you can give the answer which you just gave. The question is this. Who was the person in the Bible who held baby Jesus and talked about him being a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel? And you say the name of that person was what?
Simeon.
Yes.
That's right. Simeon. And that's really it. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess, quote, touching moments in the Bible, but that's really one poignant one right there.
Amen.
When he heals baby, Simeon holds baby Jesus at the temple and says, this is the Messiah, basically saying this is the Messiah for the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. And that would have been quite an expression for a Jew.
Yes.
At the time.
That's right.
To say this is a light for the revelation. For revelation to the Gentiles.
Okay. Amen.
All right, so Sean, very, very good, brother. Thank you for answering that one. What's your question for us?
Was that for the hat, too?
Yes, sir, it was. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. If you knew it off the top of your head.
He did.
Okay.
He did. which he's going to put this cap on.
On. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yep. Top of his head, right? We hope he is. All right, so, yeah, Mark, is it
Sean?
Sean, thanks for reminding me. We're going to get your – so when we finish with this phone call, you stay on the line, and Marty will get your address. We'll mail you the ball cap, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, who is credited with designing the iconic red and white striped bucket at KFC?
Who's credited with designing the red and white bucket for KFC?
Is this a well-known person?
Wasn't that Betsy Ross?
She's busy.
It's a pretty well-known person.
Pretty well-known person. I just know in the new KFC ads, they really slimmed down the Colonel. Have y'all noticed
this? I noticed that.
He's fit, man. He's no longer the
butterball.
The butterball guy out there. They slimmed him down. He's been in the gym.
Doesn't eat as much of his own product anymore.
But the question is, who designed the red and white KFC bucket?
All right. Now, don't say anything, Sean. We're going to talk amongst ourselves here. Do y'all think it was the Colonel himself? Mm. Or
that's the only person I could guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It may have Kevin Bacon. Be the only one that comes to mind for me, maybe.
Or maybe the Colonel's daughter, Wendy.
Yeah. Wendy, I think you got the wrong fast food restaurant there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sean, we don't know. What's the answer?
Actually, you're kind of close. The guy that did it was Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas? No
Dave
kidding.
Thomas.
Who started
who was
Wendy's.
Wendy's dad.
He was Curtis Sanders was like a mentor to him, and he started working at a KFC when he was young and suggested the bucket.
Wow.
How about that?
Listen, that is great trivia. I never knew that.
No, I didn't. He passed, right?
Oh, yeah. He's been gone.
15, 20 years ago. But it was the Wendy's franchise was based on Dave Thomas's daughter.
Yeah.
The red-haired.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever.
Ponytails or pigtails.
Not pigtails, I think it is. Anyway, that's a fascinating fast food fact.
Yeah.
Right there.
Excellent trivia.
Thank you. Was he from Ohio, Dave Thomas? No?
Yeah. He's from Ohio, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Sean.
Sean, we'll put you on hold, and Marty will get your information. And then we will send a ball cap to you, and you will get it. All I can say is as soon as possible. So,
who's up next?
All right, let's go to Pennsylvania. We haven't been there today. Dan is on the line. Dan, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello, Professor.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan, where are you calling from in Pennsylvania?
Oil City.
Oil okay. City, yeah.
Yeah, about north of Pittsburgh, 50 miles, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, right around there.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Dan, thanks for calling, my friend, from Oil City, Pennsylvania. I know J.J. Jasper's been there many times in your area. Franklin, right?
Yep.
Franklin and Oil City in that area. Okay, Dan, ask, answer, or both?
Answer.
Which one do you want to answer?
The one about Miracle on 34th Street.
All right, here's the question, Dan. Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store? What say you?
Macy's.
Macy's is correct. People knocking out these Christmas questions. I know that.
Macy's, that movie, Dan, that movie's probably, the original movie was probably, that's probably made in the 40s, maybe, 50s? 30s?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Look it up. Somebody look it up. When was that original movie, Miracle on 34th Street?
I will look it up. You guys have to talk amongst yourselves.
Yes.
1947, the original.
47.
The Miracle on 34th Street today is that you don't get robbed.
Yes, carjacked.
Well, my, how times have changed. So when was it made?
1947.
1947.
So you said 40s.
Black and white.
Black and white, the original. I think you can watch it now. Yep. It's colorized, but the original was black and white.
color movies came into existence, what, in the early 50s maybe? Something like that?
Wizard of Oz was color, and that was 1939 or something. So I think it was cheaper.
1939. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Let me.
You serious, Clark?
1939. I was spot on.
How about that?
The Wizard of Oz, 1939.
So, Dan, are you a fan of the Miracle on 34th Street? You watch that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Every Christmas?
Pretty much.
Who played Santa Claus in that movie?
I can't remember the gentleman's name.
It was Santa.
Santa Claus? Oh, yeah, Mark. You're
talking about the original?
We might want to talk after the show, Mark. I don't know if your parents
Original.
Who played Santa Claus in the Miracle in the 1939 movie?
That was Edmund Gwenn.
Okay.
Natalie Wood played the little daughter. Maureen O'Hara, I forgot.
Natalie Wood was the little girl?
She was the girl.
How about that?
Susan Walker, Natalie Wood.
That was her big break.
And then John Payne, I guess, played, I forget.
Wow, that's pretty cool. All right, are we done here? Or?
let's see, did he ask us?
I don't think
no,
so.
No,
you got a question for us, Dan?
No.
Okay, well, listen, you have a Merry Christmas, my friend, okay? Take care.
And a Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you, Dan. Dan calling from Pennsylvania. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Mark. And we got time for one more call before we have to go to a break.
All right, we go to Iowa, and Noah is on the line. Noah is 11 years old, so right under the wire. Noah, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hi,
yes,
Noah.
Sir. Hey, Noah, where do you live in Iowa?
Onawa, Iowa.
Okay.
Which is near where?
Sioux City and Omaha.
Oh, okay. Okay, Sioux City and I've been to Omaha. And what town did I go to when I crossed the river there? I went into Iowa from Omaha, Nebraska.
Probably Sioux City.
Would I have gone into Sioux City?
No.
Noah? No? No, it's not Sioux City. I forgot what it is.
No.
Anyway, Omaha.
No.
What did you say?
Council Bluffs.
Oh, yeah, Council. So you go, Omaha's in the river, Omaha, Nebraska, and if you cross the bridge there, you're in Iowa, and you're in Council Bluffs, I guess. Bluff. All right, Noah, 11 years old, calling from Iowa, and you want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Which one do you want to answer?
Home Alone.
Yeah, okay. Here's the question from the movie Home Alone. What's the full name of the young boy forgotten at home in the movie Home Alone, Noah?
Kevin Peter McAllister.
You got it.
Even his middle name.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't have the middle name. That's good, Kevin, but... Kevin! Did I do that pretty good?
You did.
Yeah.
That look on her face.
Yeah, Kevin McAllister is the name I had. There you go. Can you hold on, Noah? We'll be back after the break. Can you hold on?
Okay. Yeah.
And then you can ask us your question, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So we shall take a short time out for news here. And then we'll be back with another 25 minutes of edumacation.
Glorious minutes.
Yeah, glorious minutes coming your way with Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University shall return.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.